Welcome to the Business Vitality Podcast. My name is Catherine Canty. I am the host and an executive coach. I work with teams, individuals, and leaders to help create measured leadership change. We do that using practical application, and our clients are creating 100% measured results as seen by those around them. Not necessarily what I think or what they think, but what the other people are seeing. And they are being recognized for the hard work that they're doing. If you're interested in learning more about some of the work that we're doing, you can learn more at CatherineCanty.com. I would love for you to subscribe to this show, to Business Vitality. This is my way to continue to pay it forward and share business best practices. Stay tuned and listen to the interview. Thanks for being here. Colleen Rudnick, you are the VP of Mortgage Lending, and John Horton, you are the SVP of Mortgage Lending of A&N Mortgage, found on the web at yourmortgagepartnersforlife.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity.
I appreciate you both being able to be here. So just tell me, high level, tell me about A&N Mortgage and what they do.
A&N Mortgage is a banker / broker. So we lend our own money for most of our products, but we also can broker out what doesn't fit the traditional models.
And it's pretty cool. It's a woman-owned company. It's based downtown Chicago. We have an office in Michigan City. We got lenders all over the country. We're opening up an office in Clarendon Hills. But what a lot of people don't know is the non-QM mortgage. They don't need to know a lot about it. But like Colleen said, the Fannie Freddie FHA VA, absolutely in-house. But anything that fits outside of the box, we generally have a home for. So it's kind of nice. You don't have to send your borrower somewhere else if you don't have that typical bank product for them.
So how do you find all those homes for all those solutions?
It's just different products. I mean, there's bank statement loans and there's doctor loans and there's just a variety of different products that we can then broker out to our broker partners. But if they're your regular conventional loans, and I wish there was a lot of the homes, that's the biggest problem right now. They're not worried about rates anymore. It's just the inventory. There's minimal inventory out there. People are just looking for homes.
Do you see certain areas of the country better than others or worse than others?
You know, that's good. Florida's booming. You know, it depends on where you look at other places. Some people have a ton of it is across the country, though, is the home. There's just not a lot on the market. It's just minimal. And when it opens up, it's going to open up. And people are out there, but they're getting snatched up pretty quick.
They are. I know that we tend to have houses. Well, technically, I bought two houses. They weren't for sale. I just knocked on the door and bought them. But that was 12 years ago. And then again, I probably did it 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Nothing like a good old-fashioned cold call, knock on the door and say, hey, do you want to sell your house?
Come right
to go, and then charge on and say, but I just want to take a look and make an offer.
Right. Do you want to sell? Come on. Your house is great. I'll give you X. Okay.
Right.
I mean, I'll
figure it out.
That's how my brother-in-law's parents sold their home. Someone knocked on their door and said, we'll give you X. And they're like, okay, when can we pack? And that was 15 years ago or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I have learned just to take the first offer that comes along, because that's usually where we all end up back again to the first offer. So, house selling is always entertaining. House selling and buying is always entertaining. And the mortgages are a necessity in the middle of it all.
Thank God.
Right?
Yeah. I know. That's a good thing.
Right. We'd be out of a job if that was the case. There are a lot of cash buyers in the market right now, but that'll go away. Or not go away. It won't be the trend.
Yeah. So when you're building these relationships across the country, it sounds like you've got to build a lot of trust. You guys, can you talk about the importance of building trust and what you're doing to differentiate yourselves?
You definitely have to build trust. It's a relationship business. And people have to think that you are the authority, that you are that you know everything about what you're doing. And they have to trust you as that brand ambassador for what you are bringing to the table. If you're not, and you're falling down here and there, and you're not communicating, and they're not going to use you.
And I think it's just reputation as well. You know, we've been in it, I think, combined 54 years. You know, and people right now with the internet at the tip of their fingertips, they're probably Googling as they're watching this. You know, give you a history. How does their Facebook look? How does their Instagram look? How does their LinkedIn work? It just has to be consistent, and you want to stay in the forefront and let them know you're serious about what you do.
Yeah, consistency is key in this business now, for sure. I mean, it always was, but consistency and communication and competence over confidence as well.
Incompetence. Competence is important. I love the consistency, communication, and competence. Talk about communication. A lot of people struggle with communication at work, even at home, even at the grocery store. They don't know how to communicate. What are some things that you have found that have worked?
Go ahead. I think it has to be natural. I don't think you can learn it. I mean, you can, but don't be in sales if you don't like to talk to people. You know, don't, if you can't communicate, or Toastmasters, join a Toastmasters club. They are absolutely amazing. It's brought a lot of people out of the shell. But no, you need to communicate. You really, and again, you need to know what you're talking about, but you need to exude the confidence. People are going to follow confident people. You can have the smartest person in the world, and if they're not showing some kind of confidence, it doesn't reflect well. So if Toastmasters is great, I have some friends that went through it that they hated to speak, and I think maybe a year into it, they were killing it. They were killing it. So it can be taught, but like anything else, you have to be willing to learn it.
Absolutely. And confidence can't be taught either, or sales can't be taught. You have to exude that in yourself.
Talk more
you
about
can
that.
Try as far as, you know, okay, here's all the products that we can sell. Here's what we have. You can do it by the book, just like you said, Google and find out here's the kind of products that are out there and here's stuff. But until you really know how to talk to that person on the other end of the phone or the Zoom or the, you have to know what they want, how they want it, what their future looks like, what 5 years down the road looks like, what 10 years down the road looks like. Sometimes you're their therapist. You can't be taught that. You can't be taught how to effectively talk to people. You have to have that for the most part.
What do you do with these people that don't know how to communicate?
Make them underwriters. I mean, that's just it. You look at underwriters. I could never be an underwriter. Couldn't be a processor. I couldn't be on the operations side. You know, and then maybe you do find someone that starts as an underwriter, starts as a processor. They get a little bit more confident. They like the product, and then boom, become a loan officer. But someone coming in that we had a gentleman I interviewed a few weeks ago, super cool guy, and he literally in my office said, I don't like to talk to people. I said, do you have a network of realtors that you're related to that's going to give you business? He goes, no, but it looks so cool. I'm like, you know, we're on commission. You don't like to talk to people. You're going to want to jump on a cold call. You're going to want to jump on a Zoom. He's like, man, I can't do it. But he loved the business. So now we're looking at something on another end of the business that's not directly in sales. And maybe he'll grow into it. Maybe he won't. But at least he knew it before he took it.
What did he love about the business?
He likes helping people. It's like that servant leadership. You know, I said, you can help people on the underwriting side. You're the one that approves the loan, the processing side. You're putting everything together. Sales side, we bring it in, polish it up, send it over, and then they kind of take it from there. But if you can't bring it in, that's a little problem.
Yeah. How many folks do you have that are bringing in the business then? I'm curious.
We're divided up into a bunch of teams. I would say probably 80%. You're getting everybody struggling now. Again, it's not rates, it's inventory. But I think on our team, we probably have 80% that are bringing it in. And if you're not bringing it in, you're just not going to last long. And you can have all the coaching you want and read all the nifty books you want. But if it's just not working, you're on commission. So you wake up every day at zero. And you don't want to go to bed every day at zero.
No.
I think a lot of people struggle with that. You've got a team that's working. And then you do have those probably bottom 20% that are not performing. And then you have the top 20% that are killing it, and you got the 60 in between. But the bottom 20, they tend to take more of our time. So I'm curious, I'm gonna ask a couple questions. What do you do with the bottom 20? Do you cut them out? Do you give them a chance? What's life like?
I wouldn't say you cut them out per se. I think they end up cutting themselves out because they're 100% commission. They're not making any money. So there's no reason to stay. there are a few people probably that you've had to, because it's probably not for you. Let's find you another fit. I mean, that's, you're either making it or you're not.
And it is, and a lot of it is the coaching, and you know, if they're not making it, they're doing something else during the day to put food on the table. So if you're doing that, you're really not concentrating on this. Overhead wise, minimal, very minimal for the company. Although any overhead is overhead. If they're not producing, you're losing money on a monthly basis on them, but you do give them a shot. You do kind of, what do you need? What can I help you with? And after a while, it's just to come to Jesus. How are you doing this? You know, have you opened your computer? We can tell if they've opened it up and logged on to certain sites. And if they haven't done it in 30 days, what the hell are you doing? But you do like when people, like, we hired a guy last Tuesday. He's killing it. Had his first closing yesterday. Brought in 6 deals in 3 days. That kind of guy, here you go, man. What do you need? I'll help you. And then anyone else, you try to bring him up, but it's not meant for everyone, especially in the market like we had last year and the first quarter of this year.
Yeah, it's been the worst of my, I've been doing it 25 years. Well, like you said, 54 years between the two of us, and that's the worst year I've had in 25 years.
So how do you pivot from that?
Pardon?
How do you pivot from that?
Positivity. Get on podcast, positivity, go out there and rebrand yourself and start all over again. And competent, confidence, and it's going to come back around. We don't control the market, so we just have to get back in it when the players are there.
Okay. So what do you, I heard you talk about coaching. Do you have like a particular coaching thing that you're doing for different types of your brokers or your bankers? Or I heard you reference coaching a few times. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing to build.
Just trying to coach up the loan officers. What can you do as individual coaching sales? What, you know, what do you need? What are you doing? What aren't you doing? And it's really, it's not a blanket. Everyone's personality is a little bit different. So it's more of a one-on-one, and then eventually just kick them out of the nest and hope they don't drop to the ground.
Yeah, I mean, you can give them all the tools. You can give them all the books to read, the people to follow, the, you know, that are successful in business and sales, and they can choose to do it or not do it.
Yeah. All right, so I'm curious, what kind of books do you guys recommend?
Sell It Like Sirhan.
That's a good one. Who moved the cheese? I mean, there's some on there that have been around for absolutely forever. And a lot of times they're recycled. Sirhan is absolutely amazing. Mel Robbins is incredible. But with that there, internet, Catherine, I'm telling you, once you like one of them, you are flooded constantly. And you know, it's funny because it's the same theme. No matter who you're talking to, no matter who you're reading, it's all about your mindset. Don't wake up crabby, wake up, jump out of bed, stop bitching, go do your job, because it's really, even though we're employed by a great company, you're literally running your own business. You're 100% running your own business, backed by a great company with, you know, everything else. But you get up in the morning and you sweep off that sidewalk, man, you gotta open the door and see what happens. And they're not gonna come walking in, I'll tell you that much. You gotta go get them.
So talk about the mindset, if you don't mind, because I just had a call with another gentleman, and it was very much about mindset. The clients that I work with, it is very much about mindset. We can start chasing a rabbit down 12 different trails. It always ends up with mindset. Talk about how you guys manage the mindset.
Get out of bed in the morning and think of 4 or 5 things of gratitude is what I do. And, you know, I might then, after I do that, get on the computer and, ooh, man, that really sucked. It's got, yeah, barn fires going everywhere. Still have to go back to, I can do this. Everything's going to be fine. And you have to tell yourself that over and over and over and over again until it becomes habit of just being positive about everything going on all day long.
And hanging out with like-minded people. You know, you jump into a group of non-happy people, you're gonna get that way. And they're gonna look at you like you're a freak. But again, you know, you do a couple social media things, and I've had people reach out and they're like, why are you so positive? I'm like, what the hell's the alternative? What is the alternative? It's whether you got a salary position or a commission position, What's the point of complaining if you can't change it? In this position, we're fortunate enough that how we go about our day, we can change whatever we want to make it work. And once you start doing it, like anything else, 6 weeks, it's a habit. And once it's a habit, you can feel it, and things are starting to roll a little bit better, a lot better than they were last year.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tides start turning, the momentum starts creating, and people get on a heck of a lot easier when they start to see that positive momentum. It's hard to be at the top to be positive all the time, seeing everything that you see, because normally if it hits you, it's the problem stuff. You don't always get the good stuff.
Well, we're not positive at home. Don't ask our families. That's where we suck. But man, you get up and go to work, it's a totally different person.
Well, they pay you to be positive there, right?
Right. Exactly.
Nobody's paying me at the house to be nice, right?
Yeah, absolutely not.
Well, my dog's happy to see me, so that's always a good thing.
And that's not saying your mindset, like, we don't have horrible days in business. Yeah, we do. But you got to brush that off. You know, I've learned now lately, my biggest thing is I'll be on my computer at night and I just got to finish this. This list is so long. I need to get through all of it. No, because I'm going to go 5 miles wide and a half an inch deep, and nothing's going to get done properly. So it's better just forget those 5-6 things that I really need to do on that list, close the computer, get a good night's sleep, and wake up in the morning and tackle it then. I have a completely different attitude at that point.
Yeah. So to protect your mindset, you've got to be doing things to take care of yourselves that brings you your own energy so you can keep fueling everybody around you. What are some things that you're doing to keep yourself fresh and refueled and have the energy to show up every day?
Alcohol.
Well, at least you're honest.
Oh, I know that actually makes it worse half the time. You know, working out a little bit. You don't have to go crazy and be at the gym for 4 hours. You know, just move yourself a little bit. You know, vitamins here and there, some, you know, protein drinks, stuff that makes you feel good. Whoever that person may be, somebody might not like to do that stuff, but that I know I have to do. And when I stop doing it, I crash.
Yeah. John, you got any tricks?
I don't drink water. I don't exercise. So I have no idea what keeps me going. I really don't. I think, again, you just got to like what you do. You know, I love what I do. I love when the phone rings. There's a customer on the phone. There's a realtor on the phone.
It's a high.
So I just think keeping it going and see what happens.
Sounds good. How about, I don't know. What about just self-compassion, moving from, you know, just this, everything has to be so perfect into, let's move into more, we're just going to go for excellence today, because Colleen, you kind of mentioned it. You can't do everything all the time. So how do we move from perfectionist mindset into, we're just going to strive for excellence?
Did you say perfection?
I'm working on it. I'm going to be honest. I am working on it. That is a daily struggle to not, I'm not perfect by any means in any way, shape or form in my life at any level.
She's right.
Okay. We'll put a pin in that one. That being said, I have to realize what I'm good at, what I'm not good at, and what makes the most sense for me to get up and keep doing every day.
Yeah. And to know the difference between the two is really important.
And I think, yeah. I don't think anyone's perfect. You know, what's that saying? People don't like to be sold to, they like to shop with friends. So, yeah. You know what? None of my friends are perfect. I know that for a fact. I definitely know I'm not. I don't want to be perfect. I want to be me. I want to make mistakes, let people know I'm going to make mistakes. And that's more relatable. If you're absolutely perfect and uptight, we're not going to get along.
Yeah.
And there's someone else out there that can serve you better. It's like anything else. You need to have that relationship. Everyone else will benefit from that person not following through with me.
What is a good example of maybe things didn't go as planned?
Say that again. Yeah. I don't know why it's not loud enough.
It's okay.
What happens when things don't go as planned?
Yeah, you had talked about just kind of making mistakes, and it's not the end of the world. So do you have maybe a story that you want to share?
Just admit to it.
Own up to it immediately. You've said it a million times. Don't kick the can. If it happened on Monday, deal with it on Monday. Don't kick the can down the road till Friday. That people do like honesty. They want you to come to them and tell them what the problem is. And hey, you know what? I'm not human. I screwed up. I'm so sorry. But here's what we're going to do to fix it.
Yeah.
And generally, most people are understanding, whether it's a rate, an appraisal, a document being missed, whatever. But the good thing is, in this business, the backup is there. Like I was talking about processing and underwriting. If you miss something, they'll most likely catch it. You know, today we have a closing next week, and we needed three docs that one of the guys missed. Well, processing came back up and said, hey, we need these three. And he called the borrower. He said, hey, he didn't say I forgot. He just said, I need these three. He did forget, but no one needs to know. And it's simple stuff. The borrower got him over at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and we're good to go. That's where your communication comes in key. You need to let people know pretty much weekly what's going on. So if something does happen, it's not your first phone call to them.
Yeah. If you have anybody that's just kind of undermining that teamwork environment, do you have any advice to people that are going through that right now? Of like, how do you handle maybe a team member that's undermining the rest of the team?
We send the file back. I mean, just give you a quick example. When your file goes into processing, it needs to have X amount of things in there. If they're missing some, we send it back to the loan officer, because what that does, if we don't, that means the processor is spending more time chasing things the loan officer should have done. Once it's in, it's on its own. So we implemented a plan, and it goes right back into LO. So when you're ready to submit it, send it in. And they learn pretty quick, because now their file's just sitting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's motivation, doesn't it? If the file's sitting and it's not moving, it gets motivation.
You know what? Because it hurts your bottom line. It also hurts your customer. It hurts your reputation. It's like a domino. It's a boulder going down the hill. You can't stop. You have to take accountability for what's yours. And then if you can't do that, if you're just a crackerjack salesperson that has a million relationships and it's time for an assistant or someone to help you out and do that stuff and get those documents for you so you can just go out and sell and do what you do best.
Yeah. So Colleen, and I'll ask John the same question. What, of all your years doing this, what is some of the best business advice somebody has given you?
Oh man. You're gonna answer that first. I have to think about that for a second.
I would say know what you want. You know, as the company's interviewing you, interview the company. Again, with the LinkedIn and the Facebook and all this other stuff, if someone's looking at a company, I can guarantee you someone you know works at that company. Call two or three people, get honest advice. You know, I used to tell the guys before they would come here, go to the website. There's loan officers all over the country. I'm not calling any of them, but feel free to pick up a phone and call California, Colorado, Florida, Chicago. Interview the company and get an honest opinion. And if someone left the company, I have a buddy of mine that just left the company. I have no idea why, because he was in love with it. If I was going to go to the company he just left, I would call him and say, why did you leave? You know, you were poster boy for that company. So the internet makes it so much easier to get honest opinion from people, or follow the company on LinkedIn, see what they're doing, see if they're involved in their community. So I really think it's just talking to people that either worked there or left there and find out, do they like it working there? And if they left, why did they leave? And you'll probably get a common theme.
Yeah.
I would go back to business advice. What do you want to achieve? Where do you want to be? What are your goals for the year? And what do you want to see happen? Not what is everyone else around you doing? What do you want to have happen? What is your realistic goal for that year or any year? Or where do you want yourself to be in 5 months, 6 months, 2 years, 10 years, where do you want to be? The sky's the limit. It's up to you.
Yeah. Do you have any advice or any other ideas that are coming to mind as we're talking, and advice to maybe some listeners that are looking for business best practices? They don't always have to be some, you know, intense idea or advice. I think a lot of the good stuff is just good practical applications that continue to be successful in business.
Follow up, follow up, follow up until that person tells you to go away or they're dead.
Yep.
Yeah. Be consistent.
Yeah.
Join a BNI group. You know, join a group that are people, like-minded people that you can work together with and you can network with.
Yeah, people with different goals for sure. People that resonate with you. You have to. Because if they could be the sharpest tool in the shed doing 8 gazillion deals a year or whatever the case may be, whatever, selling widgets or this or that or the other thing. But if they don't share the same mindset or goals or that you do or ways of doing business, get out of the room.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're going to fail every time, huh?
What you said, follow up, follow up, follow up. Like, I really think that is the secret to business.
Mm-hmm. You can't call them once and go, oh, they didn't call me back. They didn't email me back. They couldn't even send a text. I'm done.
Yeah.
No, you have to keep until they tell you to take a flying leap or they die.
Yeah.
It's pretty much it. You have to. Or, yeah, you're just, that's for sales for sure.
Or just take care of a customer that you already have.
You have to be able to overcome that. As not a, you know, jab to you that that person hasn't followed up or the person hasn't gotten back to you in 6 years, but all of a sudden now they're buying a $10 million house. Well, I'm glad I stayed in contact with that person who never, ever even gave me a sniff until now.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, it happens. And it ties into what John just said with consistency. Consistency with the follow-up over time.
Yep.
We'll deliver the results.
Yes.
And we don't have to overcomplicate it.
No, it's definitely not. No. And I used to do that for years. It was I overcomplicated a lot. Not anymore. Let's just go do it.
Sometimes with the follow-up, we follow up so many times, we've re-messaged it so many times. We now made it easier for the client or we made it easier for the prospect because we tried it. Maybe they just need to hear it a few more times before it finally clicked.
Yep.
That's very cool. I love that. If someone wants to learn more about the work that you guys are doing or just more about you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Go to our website at yourmortgagepartnersforlife.com. That's you can get either one of us.
Yep, there's all our contact information, emails, websites, phone numbers. Even for Miss Perfect over here, they have absolutely everything she needs.
All right, Colin Rudnick, you are the VP of Mortgage Lending, and John Horton, you are the SVP of Mortgage Lending of A&N Mortgage, found on the web at yourmortgagepartnersforlife.com. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you
so much for having us.
Appreciate
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to the episode. If you like it, please subscribe, share this episode or this show with other people around you. The greatest form of a compliment is a referral. I really appreciate them. And if you think that you want to learn more about some of the work we're doing, I encourage you to reach out to katherinecanty.com. You can schedule a call or just continue to read articles and information that we post out there. Thank you so much for being here.